Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, let's start with the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King in Memphis, April 4th, 1968, at the Lorraine Martel. Your thoughts this morning as we remember.
You know, one of the great heroes of American life, a guy who brought so much of this country to their senses. As I've always said, one of the things that King did was to remind everybody that, as we have said around here at WMC so long, we're all in this together. He was not a guy who was exclusive to black people in this country, who he certainly was a major symbol for, but for everybody, and for the poor, and for the people who really were cut out of the system. And remember, this was one of the toughest of tough times for this great leader. The FBI, Hoover, you name it, digging up every piece of dirt on this guy that they possibly could. And yet, he remains a great symbol for this country. You know, David, Roselle and I went down to Memphis, and we went to the Hotel Lorraine, and we stood there, and it has not been changed. It's now a civil rights museum. It has an eerie feeling of you could step back into that time and just see him on that balcony. And it's not a very high balcony, by the way. People think it is. It isn't. And, you know, to this day, there's a real question as to who killed the man. It is all too simple, the way that it's been portrayed. The Kings don't believe that the assassin is who was presented, and I can only say I don't either. But it's one of the legacy of Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy and Martin Luther King and people who would make change in this country, and that when all else fails, assassination happens.
You wonder if he were alive today, what he might say about what's happening in some of these police shootings of unarmed African-American men.
You certainly would. The idea that other figures will step forward to give that message, but none of them are Dr. King.
From there to the Washington Post, Alan, this morning, the special counsel, Robert Mueller, informed President Trump's attorneys last month that he is continuing to investigate the president but does not consider him a criminal target at this point. According to three people familiar with the discussion, some Trump advisors fear the president is not in the clear and could be baited into an interview that put him into legal jeopardy.
Well, we all know that perjury will do it. And if he perjures himself in an interview, and I can only think that he might, because he's a guy who puts himself out there and says things that aren't true all the time to the American people. On the other hand, he's more clever than a lot of people think. You take a look at the Stormy Daniels thing, which is really a potential time bomb for him, and you see that he is not, in fact, opening his mouth right now. So this is a guy who knows how to shut up when he has to shut up. Remember, all kinds of people have accused him of all kinds of things in his past history, his dealings, his real estate, and the rest of it, and he's still walking around. That is for sure.
Meanwhile, the president says he will send troops to guard the U.S.-Mexico border.
Well, this is a part of the narrative that he has woven about the hordes of people who are coming into the United States in order to do terrible things here. But in fact, there is a knowledge that there are fewer people coming in, that there are more people going back, that the problem is abating in so many ways, and yet it is in his political interest to continue to throw red meat to that group who believe this false narrative, and he will continue to do it. And so every time somebody comes up with an idea like this, like bringing in the National Guard or bringing in the Army in, what the Pentagon doesn't even know about this plan, it is one more political piece of red meat to that group who he needs in order to replicate his presidential win.
Finally, according to a new study, Alan, published this week by nonpartisan analysts, the Republican tax law passed last fall will give the richest 1% of Americans an average personal income tax break of about $33,000, while the poorest Americans will receive an average personal income tax break of $40.
Well, look, we've known about this for quite a long time. We know that the people who are supposed to be the big beneficiaries are hardly beneficiaries, and we have known that the people at the very top are making out, well, like bandits. I can tell you one thing. I'm looking at our tax returns, and I am not happy with what I'm seeing. I think that once you told people who live in the so-called blue states that they are not able to deduct their state and local taxes, that's the end game. That is something that will hurt an awful lot of people.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, joining us. Thank you, Alan.
And thank you, David.